Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. Joining us on this week's edition is the new women's soccer coach, Richard Moody. Coach, thanks for taking the time this week.
Thanks for having me.
You were hired following the completion of last season, came in here in between semesters, and as you head into the spring season, which officially starts with competition on Friday, how would you describe how the transition has gone? What's been easiest for you, and what's the most difficult thing to get used to as you come from Carson Newman to South Alabama?
I think that when there is a transition with coaches and in jobs, there's never really the best time to do it. And so I think I was really fortunate, in between the seasons to where I could walk in the door where the girls were coming back and we could start afresh from there. I think it would have been a little bit more difficult to take over kind of mid-season or mid-spring season. So, but I'm coming from a job to where I had to wear many hats. I was the head coach for two programs. I was the admissions counselor, financial aid officer, strength conditioning coach, and so coming into South Alabama, there's just such a huge support staff that have really allowed me to focus more on the soccer end of things and really try to get our stamp made on the program with recruiting. I think the most difficult thing with coming in is obviously just trying to a lot of coaches that take a new job, they have to tell one team that they're leaving. For me, I had to tell two teams that I was leaving, and then of course to depart from that and then get in here and get comfortable with my girls. I think the transition it wasn't difficult per se. It was just different, I guess. And so, there's a lot of weight off my shoulders now, having been coaching two teams to now just coaching one. But the girls have responded really well. We've got a great group here, and like I said, the support staff and the Jag family have made this transition really easy for me and my family.
Spring season opens with competition against Mobile, Spring Hill, and West Florida on Friday. Of course, you're on the field before then. For this spring season, what kind of goals have you set? What do you work on in practice? What's kind of your plan this semester when it's the unofficial season for your sport?
I think it's the hardest part for me as well, as I'm taking over from such a successful program under Graham Winkworth. And so for me, you come into a program that's had so much success, winning Sunbelt conferences and Sunbelt tournament championships. And I think for us, we're fighting for marginal gains. If we can be better at 1% in 10 different areas and gain that 10%, for us, we're going to make differences. And for us, again, we feel like that South Alabama women's soccer has all the resources in order to continue the success. So undoubtedly this spring we want to get better. Undoubtedly this spring we want to rectify some issues that we've seen over the last 5 years with the program. Like, we've talked to the girls a lot about just kind of what the season has looked like over the last 5 years for the program here at South, and things that we think we can get better in. But most of all, I think, and more importantly, we're just looking for players now to step up. We graduated a big class as well, and so right now for us, we've got some new leadership within the group, and I think just pushing forward as a team and just getting accustomed to each other still. We're yet to take the field with them as the coaches on the sideline, and so again it will be interesting to see how the girls respond. But they've done fantastic so far, and I think that from day one until this day, they've got better each day. So
as you look at it, you're going to have about a month or so of where you face outside competition, and then you're off again outside of workouts and taking care of academics till August. So what kind of, for the upcoming season, what have you looked at as some issues that you think you need to address? And the work starts now. It might not be answered completely till mid-August, but what are some of those things on your radar that you're looking at?
Well, I think for us, you know, and you look at a team last year where our top goal scorer was our left back. Well, there's some issues within the team if our left back is our top goal scorer. So we've addressed that as one thing. You know, the team, we've struggled a little bit with Sunday matches over the last 5 years, and I don't think that's anything to do with our fitness, but definitely we've come in and we've really monitored our fitness and the nutrition, you know, and then also, you know, just the psychological component of these players as well. We had the US Women's National Team sports psychologist in with the kids for 48 hours, so we're trying to address the four main pillars of a player and the genetic makeup of a footballer, so we can find those marginal gains in order to improve. But right now the biggest thing though for these girls is they've had that kind of voice, and again, talking about it again, we didn't want to make too many changes to the program that's already been successful. We don't want to come in and reinvent the wheel here, like, you know. So for us, I think it was important that we asked the girls, look, what are things that we like, what are things that we don't want to change here, but what are things that we don't like, what are some, so they've had a bit of a voice, and you know, we've listened to them, and we feel really confident that right now we're making improvements, and again, for us, I think it'll all be answered when we get a chance to get on the field and play. Not so much in the results, I don't think that'll be the focal point, but just in the performances. And so,
yeah, so we mentioned you came from coaching both the men's and women's programs at Carson Newman. We'll talk about it a little later. That's also where you attended school and were a student athlete. So knowing that you played there, coached there, a lot of your time in the United States was based on that institution, that area of Tennessee. What got you interested in the South Alabama job? Why did you apply here?
That's a great question. I think for me it was, you know, and I'll answer this honestly. For me, it was, there had to be some sort of change for me in my life, for my family as well. Like, my wife's from Tennessee. You know, we both met at Carson Newman. There was a lot of history there at Carson Newman, but there was just a lot of stress on coaching two programs. You know, I started as a head coach at a younger age. I was 1 year head coach of one team, and then the next year I was coaching two teams. And so I had a lot of success as a coach, being honest. I mean, I had a lot of success. My teams had a lot of success. And I always asked the question, what could I do just with one team? What could I do with the resources, you know? And again, the South Alabama job was an easy one, not because of the success. Forget the success. South Alabama women's soccer could never have won a game in the last 5 years, and I'm still taking this job. The resources, the location, Mobile is a hidden gem, you know? I mean, it really is. And so, just between the area, the school, and you know, I said this in the release when I first took the job, you really don't know how to put it into words until you actually just walk on campus and you feel like you're part of something that's it's not even successful yet. It's in the process of being successful right now. I mean, we're building an $8 million indoor complex. We're just investing money into these kids. And so for me, I think the best is yet to come. And again, hard to put it into words, but this move, this decision was easy. And I think everybody in the country would have loved to have got the job that I got. So I'm fortunate enough that I was a lucky candidate.
Okay, knowing you knew what you were getting into, what drew your interest, and now that you've had a chance to get in, had a couple months to get settled, I mean, you haven't just, I'm sure, put together the spring program and that's it. Long term, what have you kind of marked down in your mind as some goals that you have set for the program and yourself now that you're here?
I think that the most important thing, and I told the same thing to the players, is we have to leave this program better than when we got here. And so again, since we got here, we've changed some facilities, and those marginal gains, like we feel like just professionalizing our facilities a little bit more and just kind of, you know, putting some paint on the wall. When we walked into our locker room, it kind of felt like we were in the away locker room, and now you go in there and it's vibrant, it's professional, and again, the school are helping us put that forward and put that into effect for the kids. But most certainly, again, when I took over at Carson Newman, I took over from my coach, and he had taken a program to all different levels, and a little bit like the program I've inherited here. And so I always told people I was going to take the program somewhere it had never been, and it's the same thing for us here today. You know, I see Sun Belt championships every day we walk through the door. I see Sun Belt conference championships every day I walk through the door, and they all look the same. Every trophy looks the same, and for me, you're always fighting for that one trophy that looks just a little bit different. And so everybody out there wants it. Everybody wants to take a program further for us, further than they have. We've not been past the second round in the national tournament. And so for me, I think that's the ultimate goal here, is to make your mark and take a program somewhere that it's never been. And but not only just to do once, but to continue the success of the program and all the success that we've had. But again, I think that's our ultimate goal here. Is it achievable? Absolutely.
Okay. We have mentioned we're visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Richard Moody, the new Jaguar soccer coach. In your time at Carson Newman, after the first year, you coached two programs at the same time, the men's and the women's teams there. So first, I just want to ask and explain to our listeners, how do you do that? How do you balance it? How do you spread your time out? Explain to us kind of how you did two teams at one time, especially knowing it's not like, for example, track and field coach Bruschi takes men and women athletes to the same meets every weekend. But here, there you've got different schedules, different needs. What was that like?
I'm going to use this question to maybe answer one that I did previously. You know, one of the things that has been hard for me as well is delegation, because now I actually have a full-time staff. When I was there at Carson Newman, I just had two GAs. So I had two GAs, myself, 70 athletes, two programs, two schedules, two budgets. I had to raise money for two programs. But I just didn't really think about it. You know, people always ask me, how do you do it? But you know, you get accustomed to the way things operate, and that's also another reason why I kind of needed the move. There was a point in my career there where I felt like I was maybe getting a little bit too comfortable. Not that coaching two teams was ever easy. It was never easy. I mean, you're talking two practice sessions, two, like I said, just two of everything, and that's crazy to think about. But it's you know, when you're passionate about something, it becomes easy. You know, it becomes easy. You love it. You enjoy it. But again, I just felt like there was a point there to where I was getting comfortable, and a little bit like South Alabama, where we were winning conferences and conference tournaments and this and that. And then, you know, and for me, it was just that kind of time for a change. But you know, it was the two program thing. At one point, I thought I was helping people out by doing it. I was told to do it for 1 year. 1 year became two, and then 5 years later, I'm still coaching two programs. So again, you know, I enjoyed my time there, and I was thankful for the opportunity. That was my first ever job as a head coach, and to have been a part of something like that was great. And you know, I hope the program, I wish them all the success. But right now, for me in my career, I just feel like this was the right move. So,
working with one program instead of two so far, is there any area you've noticed that you've concentrated your time and focus on now that time is available to you? Or is it just that, okay, it's the day-to-day tasks come easier, maybe the family's more appreciative, they get a little more time because you're not running one practice right after the other?
Yeah, that, you know, I'll be honest with you as well, though. I feel like right now I'm probably putting more hours in now here than what I was with both programs. But again, it's just because it is a big task ahead for me as a head coach, because you want to do what's best for the kids. You want to do what's best for the program in South Alabama. So for me, you know, I think the biggest focal point for me was just trying to come in and make the changes right away. What we don't want to be doing is trying to integrate a lot of changes in the fall when we're at that kind of prime time in the season. So as much as we can do now and get the girls accustomed to us, I feel like that'll be what's best for the program. So we are putting in a lot of hours right now, my staff and I, but for me, I think that's just the way that it's always going to be. I mean, I'm not going to stop until the job gets done. And so, but to say one thing that we focused on maybe is just the recruiting and the how intense it is at Division One. I mean, we're talking to kids now that are, you know, 4 years old. You know, I mean, these kids are contacting us saying they want to be here and they're in eighth grade. And I'm like, so that's the hardest part about it. And that's definitely been where our primary focus is. But again, I think for my staff and I, we're excited about the challenges ahead. And I think we're doing a really good job at improving the program day by day.
Mentioned before, you were a four-year letter winner for the men's soccer program at Carson Newman. That was from 2002 to 2005. You were part of a team that won three conference championships, went to three NCAA tournaments. As a senior, you earned some individual honors, all-region, all-conference. Was it in that time frame, or maybe it was before? When did you decide, I want to become a coach when I'm done, when I get my degree? And when you figured that out, what steps did you take? What did you do to prepare yourself to get into the field?
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I was like a lot of kids, just wanted to be a professional footballer. Going to university didn't even cross my mind. And my brother, he's got his PhD and something I can't even spell, you know what I mean? So it's education was always a big part of our family. But had the American opportunity not come, you know, available for me or as an opportunity for me, I probably would never have went to university. So when I took that, you know, I guess it might have been my sophomore or junior year, it just kind of dawned on me. And I remember walking into my coach's office and asking him, like, so you just coach the team, that's all you do, you don't teach, you get paid, this is your full-time job? And he talked to me a little bit about it. So you know, that's when I made that decision during university. I knew that I wanted to go into collegiate coaching, and so I was thankful to have a great coach in college, Alan Vitale, and I worked alongside Phil McNamara, who's now at UT Martin. He was on the women's team at Carson Newman then, but yeah, it was around really good coaches, and they made it enjoyable. They made it look enjoyable. They made it look easy too. I can assure you, it's not. But yeah, at an early age, I figured it out that I wanted to get into coaching. And I always joked around, and I said it to the girls, but my ability as a player was maybe a Division II level, but my mind was a Division I level, and so I always felt like I could read and analyze the game maybe a little bit better than what I could play it. And so I think with all those things put together, I figured that real quick that coaching was going to be a good occupation for me. So
your first job actually was at Morristown East High School in Tennessee, and I'm guessing it was in that area. But when you look back at what you had to do for that job and coaching at the college level, what are the biggest differences you've come across?
I think, you know, I was thankful for the opportunity to teach. I got my master's in education whilst I was an assistant coach at Carson Newman. But I think what intrigued me about education was just learning the ways, or different ways in which people learned, and different ways that you could relate to players and players that struggled with X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to grow as a coach without me knowing about it. Teaching was okay, but the coaching wasn't really, I realized then that I just wanted to coach a higher profile athlete. In high school, you kind of get what you're given, and so you have to make the most of it. And within those 3 years, I realized that I wanted the ability to pick my own team. So I knew real quick that I wanted to get into the collegiate coaching world, to where I could pick my own players and recruit my own players. But most definitely, the job itself helped me grow as a coach in a lot of different areas, learning how kids learn and maybe the problems that kids encounter each and every day with the social aspect of life. So
you said a little bit before that you, as a kid, you dreamed of playing professionally. So obviously you've been playing soccer for a long time. When did you start playing, and do you remember why you started playing?
I started playing maybe at 13 years old. And the reason why was because I was the only kid running around the playground with a rugby ball. And in the UK, rugby wasn't the biggest thing. And so when you're the only kid playing rugby, it's hard by yourself. And so I remember one day just coming over and saying, right, that's it. I'm going to have to go over there and play football or play soccer. And so, you know, I was really lucky. I got involved at an early age, at 13, or earlier, I guess. And I ended up signing. signing an S form, which is an affiliation with a professional club. So my first year playing, I ended up signing with the local club and just kind of grew throughout that. But it's, you know, as to why I started playing, truthfully, just because no one else in Scotland wanted to play rugby. But it's we've never looked back since. And again, it's a sport here in America that's growing each and every day. And so I can relate to those kids that they pick up the sport a little bit later on in life. You know, I think America produces great athletes, and so these kids are picking up the game of soccer in that kind of adolescence period of their life. They still stand a really good chance to develop and become something.
Well, you obviously said you enjoyed playing rugby, even though not enough people did it, and you got into football. Were there any other sports as you were a kid growing up that you played with friends or anything like that, or were those two just really where your focus was?
Yeah, that was it. You know, I played for the rugby club, and then I ended up just getting into the soccer, and that kind of consumed my life. Thankfully, back then, we didn't have the internet wasn't as accessible, social media and such, so I didn't have many distractions, and so I ended up my dad was a musician, so I was really involved in music and playing music just kind of in my free time. But truthfully, football was just kind of the consumption of your life there. So, didn't really do much else. That was it. Just played football. Once I got a hold of it, it was, you know, it just became a big part of me.
Yeah, you know, your playing career ended about over a decade ago, and a lot of schools weren't set up back then as they are now in terms of capturing images and video. Do we dare ask you what kind of defender you were and how rugby may have played a part in what type of physical aspect you would have brought onto the pitch?
Yeah, I wasn't a very good player, but I could win the ball in the air, and I loved to hit people on the field, and that was about the gist of it for my game. But yeah, you know what? It was I was raised in a single parent household, and I was always taught to work hard for anything that you wanted, and so when the opportunity came to go to America, I got on the field, and I made sure that I made my mark. I gave 110% every time and played hard and made sure that I held my own, you know. But at the end of the day, I don't think the videos will be available. If they are, though, we need to get those copies sent back right away. So
You signed with the local professional club, and obviously I think their plan is to ideally develop you to move up and play with the first team. At what point did you start thinking to yourself, I can go to college in the United States and I can play soccer? And when did that come across for you as a potential path?
I used to remember waking up on a Sunday morning. I had to go and do a paper run. I was a paper boy on a Sunday morning just to make a little bit of money. And I remember once, I was up at like 6 in the morning. I'd come back in, and I remember switching on the TV and sitting there with my mom, and MLS soccer was coming on, and they were playing on American football fields with all the line and the turf. I don't know why I found it amusing. And I just remember that point. I was like, right, I wanna try go to America and maybe play. And then a lot of kids in our my high school at the time, they went off to America to play, and one of them, Andrew Keane, who was a freshman of the year All-American at University of Cincinnati, he came back and started his own company. And so when he did, he brought me on board and just wanted to, I was kind of the guinea pig for a company called First Point USA, and they just wanted to see if they could use me to get me across to America. And so sure enough, within a month or two, I'd already had a lot of offers and stuff coming in the mail, and then it became a reality when I signed to go to Carson Newman. So
you remember, care to share with us other schools other than Carson Newman who recruited you, and even if you don't, do you remember what was the biggest reasoning for you why you ended up choosing Carson Newman as the place where you came across?
I remember there was a lot of people recruiting me, and again, jokingly saying, but videos and stuff weren't accessible then, so that might have been a good thing for me, because then they couldn't but I know I'd played at a high level and I had a good resume, but there was a lot of schools that when I came over to America that I got to see and got to to learn about. But I think the big one was University of Cincinnati, that was the one that Andrew had went to, and that was a big school for me. And truthfully, the reason I chose Carson Newman was just finances. For me, it had to be something that was affordable for my family and I, and that was really the only reason that I went to Carson Newman. And it turned into this, you know, this lengthy decade or so, or decade and a half of being there. So
when you look back on it now, did you ever, especially on the men's side, when you became coach of a program you played in, did you feel any kind of extra pressure, whether it was internally of your own mind or externally from other people on campus or former teammates, where there was pressure that you really had to do a good job because you played in that program?
Yeah, there was a lot. I felt like there was a lot of pressure. But the same reason I took that job then, I did this job now, because I felt like I could have made it better and I felt like I could have done something. But I remember there was a lot of hate mail coming through, not directed at me or about me, but to the former AD, just about why we let our old coach go. And so I kind of had to weather that and rebuild some bridges. But then we stood there in a national final and all those people that were sending in the hate mail, they were all standing there supporting. So it's amazing to see how the program kind of came back together. But yeah, there was a lot of pressure, and to take over from your coach, that was tough. But again, you know, I enjoyed every minute of it. I wouldn't have changed anything, and I feel like that, you know, we took a program to a national final, we took a program further than it had ever been. Had we won that trophy then, that would have been a real pivotal moment not for me as a coach, but for the program there at Carson Newman. So yeah.
Visiting with Richard Moody, the new Jaguar soccer coach, this week on Inside Jag Nation. Came from Carson Newman, where he played from 2002 to 2005. Coached both the men's and women's programs. The men you took to the 2013 NCAA championship game. Your last 2 years with the women, two conference championships, two NCAA appearances, and an overall record of 36-7-1. So certainly a wonderful track record you're bringing to the program. And one of the other reasons I want to highlight those accomplishments is I want to ask you, former players, not just in soccer/football, but in all sports, try coaching, but not all of them are very good at it. What do you think was the biggest adjustment you made from your playing days that helped you actually make the transition to being a successful coach?
That's a great question. I think for me, I think I was around really good coaches that I was able to watch them and how they mentor players and how they ran sessions and such. But as a player, I knew the things that annoyed me as a player. I knew the things that we wanted, but at the time in the program we were in, we couldn't afford them. And so, you know, it took me some time to grow up with that player mentality. But even to this day, I always ask the question, would I have wanted that if I was a player? And if the answer to that is yes, then we're going to go out and we're going to try and get it for the kids. And so sometimes I have to be careful, because I'll just run around spending money all the time. But I think that, you know, being a part of a successful program as well at Carson when I was playing, like, we knew how to win. But again, I think there was a lot of things that I struggle with as a player, and haven't played the game, which a lot of coaches, by the way, that are successful, they haven't even necessarily played the game, and they've done a great job. But for me, I always feel like you had to have played the sport, you know, in some capacity, at some level, in order to really relate to the players. And so I think that's where I can really, the attributes I can bring forward. There's a lot of things that I didn't like as a player, and I try to be cautious in how I do it now, but there was a lot of things I didn't like as a player my coach did, but now being a coach, I see the benefit on it. Yeah. So again, I'm, you know, trying to get out of that player mentality a little bit. But again, I think that having the career that I did in college and then a little bit in the pros just allows me to relate to the players a little bit better.
Before we wrap up with Coach Richard Moody on the Inside Jag Nation podcast this week, I want to ask you some questions now. First thing that comes to your mind, just blurt it out. And it's more about things outside of work. And I'll start with when you have free time, and I'm sure it's not often, what do you like to do most?
Spend time with my family, spend time with the kids, and just hang out, be a dad.
What's your favorite sport outside of soccer?
Soccer. There is no other sports outside of soccer. I generally do not have another sport.
Fair enough. What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
The Old Firm match in Scotland, Rangers against Celtic. And of course, Celtic always being the better team of the two, so that's the best I've ever attended.
What one sporting event you have the opportunity to go to, do you want to, that you've never been to it before?
I would love to go and watch Conor McGregor perhaps fight. That would be one that I would love to go and see.
You got one place you're going on a dream vacation. Where is it?
Mobile, Alabama.
What's your favorite movie?
I'd say Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels.
Favorite book?
I read a lot of kind of tactical analysis books right now. There's one on Jurgen Klopp, one is his time at Borussia Dortmund, so that's become my favorite book right now.
Favorite musical artist?
At the moment, Ed Sheeran, I'd say.
And well down the line, when your long, successful career comes to an end and a Hollywood movie producer decides they want to make your life story into a film, who's going to play the lead role of Richard Moody?
Mark Foster, my assistant coach here at South Alabama. He's better looking than me. So, Mark Foster's going to play that role.
I hope he's got some acting skills. Visiting this week with head soccer coach Richard Moody. Coach, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!